Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
August 19th, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, back from Beijing. Well, welcome back to you, and I guess welcome back to me, because I'm in the States again. Happy to be home, loved the trip, loved coming home, especially to the weather here in the Santa Rosa area, just north of San Francisco, California, compared to the weather in beautiful, balmy Beijing. Boy, it was hot and it was sticky, and many of the days it was very kind of gray. We're still trying to figure out exactly what the air quality was in Beijing. I grew up in Southern California during some pretty smoggy times, and I know what smog feels like in the lungs and in the eyes. And this was different, though. It was definitely not pretty. On the real hot and sticky days in Beijing, I mean, the sky was completely gray all day. You could even see the bad air quality as you looked out toward the buildings and so forth. They would be in this kind of haze. So it was definitely ugly. But at the same time, it wasn't as bad on the eyes and lungs as things that I have experienced. So it was its own kind of smog. Certainly not something that I would want to live in every day. But I didn't die either. So somewhere in between. And fortunately, a couple times during the trip, we had some rainstorms come in, and they really did clean things up. And it was the best mornings that I had in Beijing were the mornings after the rainstorms. It was a relatively cool for Beijing this time of year, and a relatively clear for that area also. So there were some, and in fact, the day that I left was probably the most beautiful day I had seen there the whole time. In fact, I walked out of the hotel. I had my bags. This was a Friday morning. And I looked outside, and for the first time, I saw blue in the sky. And I go, oh, man, you know, doesn't it figure that, this would be the day when I have to catch a cab and try to negotiate my way to the airport in Mandarin? Wouldn't this be the day that the sky is blue? So goes it. So I actually took a few shots of the hotel and of the skyline and anything that I could see, just to prove to myself that there was some blue sky while I was there in China. So anyway, what I wanted to do today was do a little bit of just a recap from a photographer's point of view, because it was really a very interesting trip on a number of photography levels. The first level was, me as a photographer there. And, I had talked a fair amount before I left about how I prepared for the trip. And so I wanted to kind of loop around and, discuss how that worked out for me. Did I do a good job, or, did I just suck? So I want to cover that a little bit. And then I was working with a lot of really great photographers, and I want to talk a little bit about that, because, it was, for me, it was a really good inside view of the very top level of photography, how the super elite shooters go about their life on an assignment such as the Olympics. So I want to cover both of them a little bit today. I'll start with my experience as a photographer. First of all, the kit that I put together and that I thought so much about worked fantastic. I was so proud of myself. And basically, what my goal had been was to fit everything into one bag that was a little bit kind of a rectangular bag. It was a bag that I got off the bargain shelf years ago and hadn't used because it wasn't right for, you know, all the different types of assignments, and it happened to be just right for this assignment. So it was sort of rectangular, and it was about the size of a small carry-on bag. And I had a shoulder strap, and then, of course, it had a handle that I could pick it up with. And the handle to pick it up with, for me, is very important. Bags that only have shoulder straps just drive me nuts when I'm on the go because they're awkward to just grab by the shoulder strap. It's too long, especially when you're tall like me. You have that thing, you know, cinched all the way out. So it needs to have a handle right on top, and this one had that. Had pockets everywhere, including document pockets in the back that rested against your body. And then I found it was like a belt attachment that had Velcro loops on each end so that I could configure basically a waist belt with this thing with a buckle in the middle. And when I didn't need it, the Velcro loops just opened up and I could stash them inside the bag itself. So this proved to be invaluable because there were some times when I had to walk for miles with this bag, and being able to, you know, have it cinched tight against my body while I walked, you know, keeping it from flopping around, really, I think, saved wear and tear on my shoulder. So I'd have it looped over one shoulder or the other. I would go back and forth to, you know, kind of, you know, give my shoulders a rest. So I'd have it looped over one shoulder or the other, and then I would have this belly band, you know, to kind of keep it against my body. And it was just, like I said, it just totally saved me a number of times. Inside the bag, basically, I carried a Canon 5D, 70 to 200 f/4 Canon L lens, and then I had the 1.4, teleconverter for it, so that when I put that on, it would go all the way out to 280 millimeters on the Canon 5D. I had the 16 to 35 L zoom lens, the 2 model, the current one, which I think is far superior to the original one they made. And then I had the Sigma 50mm f1.4, a lens that I have to tell you I just fell in love with on this trip. A lot of times when I was working in the main press center, I would walk around with just the 5D over my shoulder and the 50mm f1.4. And maybe have the ISO set to 400 or 800, something like that. And I got a lot of really good shots. I mean, just shots of the inside workings of the main press room at the Olympics, because I had a camera on my shoulder all the time, and I had this very fast lens that could shoot in existing light, and it wasn't too big. Didn't bang around and bother me. And it was just a godsend. I loved, but I used all the lenses in the kit, and I was happy to have every one of them. And there wasn't really a time where I said, oh, I wish I had brought this lens or that lens. So I managed to get by with these three lenses and the 1.4 teleconverter, and that covered everything from, you know, shooting beach volleyball at the venue, to working inside the main press room, to walking around the Forbidden City, to street shooting just on the streets of Beijing, on and on and on. So I was really happy with the kit, and it all fit in this bag that I had. Then I had the G9 too, and I was really happy with the G9. Originally, I was using it, believe it or not, mainly for movies, and I was having fun shooting all sorts of movies. One of my favorite movies, basically, I took a cab from the hotel, staying at the Beijing Tibet Hotel, that wasn't too far from Olympic Village. So I took a cab to the Forbidden City. I was going to take the subway that morning, and I decided not to, because it was a really pretty morning. It was one of the mornings right after it had rained, and I just wanted to be outside. So then I rolled down the window, and I basically shot a movie outside, from inside the cab, pointing out of my trip from the hotel to the Forbidden City. And it just turned out cool. And, you know, like, especially when you're waiting there in traffic or you're waiting at an intersection and, you know, all the Beijing is happening around you, you know, the bikes going by and the pedestrians and all that sort of stuff. So it turned out it was very fun. It's something that I'm going to treasure for a long time. But then I did have one day, let me see, it was later, it was like in the second week, and I had a day off. I didn't have to report till like 5 o'clock at night. I had like the 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. shift in the main press center. So I had this day off, and I decided to ride the subways all day and just get out at places and then street shoot and then get back on the subway and go somewhere else. And boy, that was a hoot. I loved that day. And I actually didn't get lost once. Pretty incredible. Because I do not speak, you know, a syllable of Mandarin. And if you've ever seen the language written, it's not easy if you're an English-speaking person to understand what's going on there either. And I managed to ride the subways all day and never got stranded anywhere. And I would say more than anything, that's a tribute to how well the Chinese have designed the subway system in Beijing. And they worked on it a lot, improving it before the Olympics. So they did a great job on their end. And then that kept me from having problems on mine. But anyway, on that day, you know, since I had been working for quite a while already and had done quite a few assignments, I wanted to travel really light. So I just took a fanny pack that day with a few things that I thought I'd need and the G9. That's all I took on subway day, just the G9. I left the 5D and the computer and everything back at the room. And that was a very fun day also. Now, I would not have wanted to go on the whole trip with just the G9. As good of a compact camera as it is, and it shoots raw, and it has a, you know, a 6x zoom lens and a nice big LCD, and it shoots movies. I mean, it's a good camera. It has all the modes that you would need, the whole deal. It was great for my street shooting day, but obviously I could not have done an assignment with it or anything like that. But even if I weren't shooting assignments at the Olympics, even if I were just, you know, shooting candids in the commons and things like that, I would have wanted the digital SLR also. So having both of them really worked out well, because when I needed to shoot movies, I could pull out the G9. And when I wanted to do just a light street shooting day where I sort of operated off the radar, there was a few shots that I took that day where I was in, you know, questionable areas of town, where it was very nice not to have to hold a big camera up and take pictures, because it would have drawn way too much attention to myself. I was able to capture some shots without drawing attention, and that was really helpful. And even then, I would just, you know, shoot one or two frames and then move along. So the G9 was a nice complement to the kit. Now, when I was carrying the bag around, it fit in there along with the 5D and the three lenses. And then I also kept in that bag, and one of the reasons why I chose this bag is because it had a sleeve that was perfect for this. I also kept the white MacBook. And, you know, that's the small light one. It's not the Air, it's just a regular MacBook, because I need all the ports and stuff. And also, I really like the price of the MacBook compared to the Air. And, did I re-fall in love with this computer on this trip? It was so cool because it's compact, because it's just a little 13-inch screen. I could open it up like anywhere. I could open it up on the bus. We every morning, the way that it worked, or evening, depending on when my shift was, when I had to go from the hotel, the Tibet Hotel in Beijing, to the main press center inside of Olympic Village, that was like two rings of security that you had to get through. So what the Chinese did, and I thought this was pretty cool, was that they made the Tibet one of the hotels where they kept the press. And so then we actually had a secure area there at the hotel with a metal detector, and, you know, all it looked just like, you know, the airport, right? You slid your bag through the thing. You know, it was scanned. You had to walk through a metal detector thing. If you tripped it, you know, they did the wand on you. I mean, the whole deal, right? All of your credentials were checked. And if they were not in perfect order, believe me, you know, you did not get through. So they set up a secure area there at the hotel. And then the bus would come. And once we passed security, we could get on the bus. And then the bus could take us all the way in to the doorstep of the main press center. And that really saved us a lot of time because basically we had already gone through security. They could just drop us off at the main press center. We'd only have to show our badge one more time to get into the press center, and that was it. So that saved a lot of time. Now, the thing about whenever you're taking a shuttle or a bus anywhere, of course, you have some time to wait because, you know, the bus left like every 20 minutes, and if you just missed it, you had 20 minutes to wait before it left again. And then, of course, you had the drive itself to the Olympics. And fortunately, this bus was allowed to use the Olympic lane. And this is always part of the deal with the Olympics. If you're a host city, you actually have to create special lanes just for Olympic vehicles so that, athletes and press and all those folks don't get stuck in traffic. And believe me, in Beijing, you can get stuck in traffic really fast. It is a tough town for traffic. So the bus was able to use the Olympic lane, which meant when we were on the freeway, basically we had this free and clear lane that just, you know, whizzed right by all the traffic, and that got us into the Olympic Village. It was very nice. But it was still like a 15, 20-minute bus ride to work. And so the MacBook was just great because I would get on the bus and I'd pop it up, and I would just start working on my photos, whatever needed work, image adjusting, adding metadata, doing captioning, you know, whatever was required. I could just pop open the MacBook, even in the tight quarters of a bus, and do work as I could on the plane, as I could while I was waiting for food, as I could just about anywhere. And because it was so light and because I had designed my kit so that it was actually part of my camera kit, I always had it with me. And I had an extra battery too, which, man, I had a good almost 7 hours of working time with the two batteries. So I could work anywhere at any time. And because of that, when I came home, when I stepped off the plane from Beijing into San Francisco, all of my images had been uploaded. Everything had been organized. Almost everything had been captioned and keyworded. I was basically ready to go, and which was a good thing because I came home, stepped off the plane, got some sleep because I had been up for, I don't know, a lot of hours, like almost 30 hours straight. And then I had to shoot a wedding the next day, which meant then a whole bunch more pictures were going to be coming into my library. So I did not want to get really far behind on this because, you know, this is one of those things where you look up and you're like, you know, 1,500 pictures behind, and did not want to be in that situation. So having the MacBook with me all the time allowed me to just totally stay current. And I just love that. I love the feeling of coming home with my library in order. If someone wanted to see some pictures, I could pop it open. I did smart albums like of, you know, my selects, you know, my favorite shots, and I could just like run a slideshow right there, and boom, you know, I'd have like 80 shots to show somebody that where I didn't have to do anything. And they were shots that I liked, and, you know, that had already been cropped and tweaked a little bit, and, you know, not to mention they had all their metadata. So the MacBook was a huge part of this photo journey for me. And it really allowed me to stay in the moment. So I could shoot and process, and they almost became like one thing, or like two sides of one thing. And I like that because, you know, a lot of times we sort of create this divide between capture and post. And on this trip, because of the setup that I had, that divide wasn't really there. It felt like kind of one photographic process, and I like that. And I'm actually going to keep trying to perfect that, to a point where there is as little interruption as possible from start to finish. And of course, I'll be, as I discover more and more about this, I'll be sharing it with you. So my kit worked great. I was totally happy with it. Now, on the professional side, it was very interesting. I saw tons of great shooters in the Kodak digital photography area of the main press center. And, I mean, images that I just went, wow, you guys are great. And believe me, I have never seen in my life so much big glass accumulated in one area. And I mean, I've been shooting events for a while, and you know, been out there with all sorts of photographers. But at the Olympics, I mean, it seemed like to walk into the main press center, you had to have at least a 400 f/2.8 over your shoulder with a monopod. You know, that seemed like the ticket to get in the door. And then, of course, you saw bigger glass, and you saw variations on that. But if you didn't have a 400 f/2.8 lens, you know, seemed like you were in the wrong place. And, you know, these guys knew how to use them. They were shooting really well. What surprised me was on the post side of the equation. Now, in the Kodak area of the main press center, we had 200 workstations set up. And that was a combination of, we had 50 Macintoshes, 75, I think, Windows machines, and then a lot of just open slots where you could bring your own laptop and plug in. And as I walked around and watched people do their thing, I was really surprised at, even among the elite photographers, how many of them really just don't have their workflow figured out yet. Time after time, I would see someone, you know, with like 50 Photoshop windows open, you know, where it does that accordion thing that, I would see like 50 Photoshop windows open. And I'm assuming that's the way they were doing their photo editing. I would ask them if they needed any help, and they'd just say, nah, go away. And I was just thinking that's insane. I mean, trying to figure out your best shot using Photoshop that way just seems like a really, I mean, if nothing else, you know, open them up in Bridge and use Bridge to at least do your sort. And then, you know, whatever you want to work on, you know, work on an ACR and then, you know, Photoshop to finish it off. But at least don't start in Photoshop. A lot of shooters were using Photo Mechanic. And, you know, Photo Mechanic is a good workflow tool, so that seemed all right to me. Although, it's interesting, the people that were using Photo Mechanic were also often interested in learning more about aperture. So I thought that was interesting. They maybe because they had already taken a step toward workflow and photo editing and, you know, had learned a lot of things with Photo Mechanic, maybe that made them more open to learning about aperture. And then there were just folks that, you know, were just popping things open in the Finder and stuff like that. Now, I didn't see, every now and then we'd see Lightroom on a laptop, but not too often. I did see a lot of aperture on laptops, and of course we had Aperture, Photoshop, Photo Mechanic, and then Transmit loaded on the big Macs there, on the Mac Pros, and with 30-inch cinema displays. So if I saw someone, you know, working on their little laptop, especially with Aperture, I'd say, hey, you know, we got these big machines here, use them. And a lot of photographers, they would use them. Some photographers said, wow, this is great. You know, I love coming to this workroom and being able to work on these big machines. I get all my work done. I send it off via Transmit, you know, for FTP. And then I can just download everything onto my laptop when I'm done. So a lot of photographers did take advantage of that. But overall, I have to say, I was surprised, and if anything, I would say the big challenge for a lot of these shooters still is on the post-production side. And I think a lot of it is that they're just so busy that they really don't have time to work on this. Now, the shooters that really did have it together, that shoot a lot, for instance, let's say Dan Frakes, who, you know, is one of the elite shooters, who also really has, you know, his workflow together, they seemed a lot more relaxed, I have to say. And they seemed to have a little bit more free time to chat. And I don't think that was a coincidence. I think probably one of the challenges that we still have in digital photography is on that backside, helping people get organized regardless of which tools they want to use. If they want to use Aperture, if they want to use Lightroom, or if they want to use the Bridge, Adobe Camera Raw, Photoshop, or they want to use Photo Mechanic and Photoshop, all of those combinations, you can put together a really nice flow. But you sort of got to pick something and start getting organized, because I can tell you right now, if you don't, you're not going to get any sleep. You're just going to be working all the time, and you're going to be bushed. I mean, I have shots of photographers just passed out at their workstations, and you know, the post was just eating them up. They'd be shooting at the venues all day or in the evening, and then just, you know, be dying to get their post done. So that's my wrap up from Beijing. It was a fantastic trip. I hope you had a chance to see some of the posts on the digital story. I tried to post just about every day while I was gone, and I tried to run anywhere from 2 to 4 or 5 pictures with each post. So there's lots of stuff there waiting for you if you want to see how I used all of this gear that I was talking about. And then I also want to mention the photo assignment for this month of August, is a competition. And this is one that you're probably just not going to have something that you can pull out of your archive, and you might actually have to go shoot something. And it could be any sort of competition, and it could even be metaphorically speaking. It doesn't have to be, you know, literal, like some sort of Olympic event or something. But I hope you do take up the challenge and come up with something for this month's photo assignment, because I think it can be interesting, and it's definitely fits within the theme of what's going on in the world right now. Everyone, all countries are focused in Beijing right now, and competition, you know, has all sorts of interesting ramifications before, during, and after the actual events. So give it a whack, send it in, and get it in by the end of the month. I also just really quickly want to thank our sponsors, Low Pro Bags, Expo Disc, the Expo Imaging folks, Photomagico, the makers of the best slideshow in the world, that run the best slideshow creation software in the world, and it runs on a Mac, and they have a new version out. And then also Red River Paper Company, and they're our newest sponsors, and I'm very enthusiastic about having them as part of our family. So that will do it for this week. I'll be back next week. We'll talk about something new. I think we've got a wrap on Beijing for now. However, we can always keep the conversation going with comments and so forth. In the meantime, go out, get your competition shot, send it in, send in a grab shot if you're sitting on one, and I will see you here next week on The Digital Story. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.